You're listening to Backstage at Lyric, the podcast that takes you behind the curtain at Lyric Opera of Chicago. Backstage at Lyric features in-depth interviews with the singers, directors, and creative minds of one of the world's great opera companies. For additional podcast interviews, subscribe to our RSS feed or visit us online at lyricopera.org.
Lyric Opera Chicago Technical Director Peter Schwob and Production Design Director Scott Marr are backstage at Lyric.
Yeah, we have certainly the daily requirements that both Barber and Onyegin will demand through the end of March when we end the season. But we have, we're working with the scene shops now for our new productions, Pearl Fishers and Abduction from Seraglio. We'll start building scenery within the next 2 weeks.
I feel like I'm living my life's dream. I don't know how many people in this world can say that, but I feel so incredibly fortunate. This is an incredible company. And, you know, you just talked about, you know, seeing those model presentations, and it is really exciting. You know, it's sort of like when you see those ideas of the designers and directors in sort of a early phase, it rekindles your love for this. And
thank you for downloading this episode of Backstage at Lyric. I'm Roger Pines of Lyric Opera Chicago. In this episode, we're featuring an interview with Peter Schwob and Scott Marr from Lyric's production staff, who take charge of the company's backstage operations. Peter and Scott will talk about their unique jobs and the challenges and highlights of the upcoming 2008-2009 season from a truly behind-the-scenes perspective. Jack Zimmerman from Lyric's Public Relations Department is your host. I hope you enjoy the interview.
This is Jack Zimmerman in the Lyric Opera Podcast Studio. Welcome to Backstage at Lyric. Joining me today are Lyric's Technical Director, Peter Schwob, and Production Design Director, Scott Marr. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you.
The first thing we should probably talk about are your job descriptions. So, Peter, just what is a technical director and what do you do all day?
Basically, what my responsibilities are to take care of everything backstage, upstage of the house curtain. So from design concepts to drawings to shop, the construction of the scenery, shipping and installation on the stage, lighting, and watching budgets, both in terms of the dollars for the scenic elements and stagehands. And then just making sure the show runs properly, safely, within, you know, our budgetary guidelines.
This sounds like a lot.
It is quite a bit. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And Scott, every time I go into the opera house for a rehearsal, I see you sitting there with a clipboard staring at the stage. What is that all about?
Yeah, my job has more to do with the aesthetics of things, the details. I look at things from a very artistic point of view. I overlook the set dressing, the props, the furniture, fabrics, you know, the flowers, the vases, or anything like that, and costumes and wigs and makeup as well. Also scenic art.
Wow. So when we talk about a production, I mean, we're talking about the physical production, right?
Right.
With you guys. I mean, right. That's what you're concerned about. You're not concerned about the singing and such things, the orchestra.
Right. Of course, we're concerned about them, but it's not in our area of expertise to make comments on those.
But what are all the things that make a production? I mean, when you talk about, when you say, I'm looking at this production now or something like that, what are those things actually that you're looking at?
Certainly scenic elements, props, costumes, the size of a course that may be on stage at any time.
What is that?
Well, for example, Menon coming up in our upcoming season in Barcelona. They had
48, but we're upping it to 64.
Wow.
Yeah, and with Porgy as well, Porgy and Bess, we have to make sure that all those choristers, I think Porgy, we're adding more people as well.
Yes, we are.
That they actually fit on stage. We're a bigger house than most other places, with the exception of the Metropolitan. So we generally have a larger course than most opera houses.
Yeah, and so therefore new costumes will have to be designed extra costumes to facilitate that increase of number.
And you deal with all that.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure the costumes look the same.
I mean, we're actually in contact with the designer, Tanya McCollin, who's in London. And all the original fabrics were shopped in Europe, and so we'll just do the same thing. And so there's a through line in terms of the production.
When these productions come here, are they inventoried? Or, I mean, you must go through everything that's shipped here. And how do they get here?
A new production that we have built in the United States will come by over-the-road trailer. A production we rent from overseas comes in 40-foot sea containers, and anywhere from 3 or 4 containers to maybe 8 containers for a show. And that's how props and scenery are shipped around the country and overseas. We have a large storage yard south of Chicago that we will store containers. And most of our productions are stored in containers there as well. So if we have someone, Houston Grand Opera is renting Calvaria Rusticani, and we will just send them the containers with that scenery in them.
And the Lyric Storage Yard, would you say, is south of Chicago?
Yeah, on the south side of Chicago.
How many containers are there?
We have, at the moment, we have approximately 300 containers there with scenery, props, costumes. Roughly 53 productions are stored there.
And are these things stacked, or are they...
They're stacked. They are 3 containers high and 4 containers deep.
Do you, like, take them off the ones on top? You take it down?
Sure. What we'll have to do is rearrange the stacks depending on what show is either coming into the Opera House for our performances or being rented. And we have a container lift that you would see at a rail yard or a shipping port that Lyric bought several years ago, and that's how we move our containers around as well.
Wow. Presently, we're finishing up the 07-08 season, and it was a huge triumph. I mean, we had a ton of great productions this year. But I want to look ahead to next year, and we open with Manon.
Correct.
And that's the David McVicker production, who gave us Julius Caesar this year, which was just wonderful. Can you tell us anything about what we're going to see when we go to that production?
Well, David McVicker, he also directed Trovatore and Billy Budd before that. And one of the great things about his work is this overall flow in terms of how things change from one scene to the next. And he really has a talent for getting to the essence of a piece. And Manon is very much the same way. It's constantly moving and changing. And in the same way, the entire production is sort of choreographed in a somewhat similar, although it's a completely different style compared to Cesare.
The production I'm really interested in hearing about from you, of course, is the next one, The Pearl Fishers. And you are deeply involved in this, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear about that. That's great.
That was an interesting involvement. Hubert Monleux designed the original production, but he passed away. And we knew we wanted to remount the production, but that meant that we would have to rebuild the scenery. And Nicolas Joel, the original director, he was not available, but his assistant, Herb Kellner, is directing. So Herb and I, we sort of revisited what Nicola and Mr. Molyneux had done before.
I should mention that Herb did our ring cycle.
Correct.
I mean, Herb's been around.
So. Yeah, oh yeah.
And he also did this year's Barber.
That's right, he did this.
He helped out.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no. And so what we did is we went back to the original research that Mr. Molyneux had, and we sort of re-explored the exoticism of the piece. And so it still pays homage to Hubert Molyneux's original designs, but it's a brand new set design, and there'll be some new costumes for Nicole Cabell and Nathan Gunn, and for Eric Cutler as well.
I've seen some of your sketches. They're absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I wish you would come to my condo and just do something there. You know, so. Anyway, you guys are living in two seasons now, right? I mean, we're finishing up this season with Eugene Onegin and Barber. But you're really, your heads are really in the next season already, right? I mean, you're deeply.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we have certainly the daily requirements that both Barber and Onegin will demand through the end of March when we end the season. But we have, we're working with the scene shops now for our new productions, Pearl Fishers and Abduction from Seraglio. We'll start building scenery within the next 2 weeks.
And where are these scene shops?
Both those shows are being built in upstate New York. We have been using Adirondack Scenic Studios for the last couple of years. They do very good work.
Do you go there and look at the stuff?
Or? We do. With the designer, we'll schedule a visit at the appropriate time. And myself, the designer, maybe Scott, will go and look at the production as it is. You know, so we know what we're getting before it arrives in August on our stage.
Could we talk a little bit about how a production starts out from the first idea of the production to finally getting on stage? And I guess we should talk about Abduction, since that's one that we're doing ourselves, right?
Correct.
So how does this start? Somebody says, we want a new production of Abduction. And then what's the next step?
It starts years out with maybe Mr. Mason and Sir Andrew Davis determining what kind of season they want, what kind of shows will work in that. They'll say, okay, if we want a new Seraglio, they'll ask directors, does the time frame work for you? Are you interested in Seraglio? And that may be 4 or 5 years out.
Oh, yeah.
And then they start, the director will then pick designers, suggest designers that can work with them in our house. And then they'll start kicking around ideas in terms of where they want to go with that, and then present a rough idea to Mr. Mason and Sir Andrew, the concept of the show.
Yeah, I've gone to a couple presentations, and I find that just fascinating.
And the model presentations happen about a year and a half out, where they'll come with a model. Usually the designer and director will come and present a model, and maybe some costume sketches. And then we'll put a quick price on that to see if we're even in the ballpark. If we are, great. We'll refine it a bit. And if we're not, we'll send them back out the door with their model and sketches and have them come back in a month or so with a new presentation.
When you say we put a price on it, is it you who looks at everything and says, this is going to cost this much? Or how both of you do this?
Well, yeah. I think that we do that together, and we basically overall start zeroing in on the details of things, and based on past experiences with what productions cost, we're able to put a rough figure, you know, for each item or each costume or
a ballpark figure. What does a production cost these days?
For a new production, scenery and costumes, I think we're generally about $500 to $750 for a large production, $750,000. Scenery, costumes, props. So,
and we should mention that a lot of times we do a production here and we then rent it.
Yeah, we will rent our productions. Our La Boheme, Traviata, Barber are all very popular shows that are seen around the country. I think Abduction is on the smaller side, and it's a gorgeous looking show. I think that's going to have some rental possibilities. Kev Pagg is rented quite a bit. That'll be seen later this year in Houston. So yes, we do. That enters into the equation a little bit.
I wanted to ask you something about Kev Pagg. It's actually two separate operas, obviously,
correct,
which with two separate sets of two separate productions. Well, if you have another opera in house, which I think next year is the Hockney
Tristan.
Where do you put all this stuff? I mean, isn't that kind of tight with three productions in-house?
It is. It can be very tight backstage. And there are times where we have singers and a course going through the scenery of one show to get on stage for the that evening's performance. Yeah. It becomes a jigsaw puzzle. At some point, there are times where we've had to store scenery up in the rehearsal room for an evening, or store it on our truck lift. So yeah, it does become a interesting problem in terms of when you have shows that have very large pieces that we want to keep together, because that'll make the changeover quicker. So yes, it's very much like a jigsaw puzzle.
When I started at Lyric in 72, I was a backstage musician. They used to put scenery out on Wacker Drive. I mean, they would just wrap it up and stick it out on the sidewalk. It was before the renovation. Right.
Before the renovation in the mid-90s, yes, I've heard stories of that as well, and they would cover the scenery with tarps if it was snowing. There was always stories about people walking by and picking off pieces of the scenery.
Well, thankfully, those days are over. Correct. So I'd like to talk a little bit about your typical day, which I realize there probably is no typical day for either of you. But Scott, like, you come in the morning, and what's the first thing you tackle?
Well, first I see if there's a red light blinking on my
I think we all do that. Yeah.
There generally is, and so those things I imagine are more immediate. There's something, and that can be because there's a problem with a costume, or there's a problem with a prop or a set dressing or something like that from a rehearsal the night before, to the scenic artist leaving me a message asking me about how something should be painted. And then, you know, looking at the tech request, I guess, that spells out the notes from the rehearsal the day before, I would look over that and then check email and then go about the day trying to put out all of these different fires that are sort of burning.
And how long have you been here at Lyric?
18 years.
Wow.
I know, it's a long time.
That's wonderful.
I started out as an intern and sort of just, I guess, somewhat became a fixture here, but it's been incredibly exciting for me. It's really, especially with Pearl Fisher's being the first, my debut as a set designer, I feel like I'm living my life stream.
Wow.
For certain.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah,
this is great.
I don't know how many people in this world can say that, but I feel so incredibly fortunate. This is an incredible company. And, you know, you just talked about, you know, seeing those model presentations, and it is really exciting. You know, it's sort of like when you see those ideas of the designers and directors in sort of an early phase, it rekindles your love for this, and it is very exciting because that represents what's potential for the future. Mm-hmm. And it's great to be part of that process of seeing it in such a young infancy and then actually, you know, seeing it on stage. And, you know, we talked about the orchestra as well. That is such an amazing thing, you know, when the orchestra kicks in for the first time after you've been rehearsing for a show for a number of weeks.
Yeah. Now, Peter, you came from Goodman Theater, right?
Right. I was technical director at the Goodman Theater for 6 seasons. Prior to that, though, from 94 to 99, I was here at Lyric Opera as an assistant technical director, and then went to the Goodman when they built their new space on Dearborn Avenue there, and then eventually came back to Lyric.
Well, we're delighted to have both of you. I'd just like to talk a little bit about David Hockney's Tristan. Have you guys seen this? Have you?
Yes, we both saw it in L.A. Mm-hmm. Late last year.
Yeah, and that's coming up next, like early next year, right?
Correct.
Third opera, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what do you see any challenges in that as far as the staging of it?
The challenges, there's not going to be that many for us. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but the rake of the stage, the angle at it's pitched, is very steep. It's difficult for the performers to perform on. But other than that, there's some large pieces, large chunks of scenery that have to stay together to make the intermission shifts. And then just Hockney's, the way he designs with forms and color, it's going to be quite amazing on stage.
Yeah, it really is beautiful. It's interesting because it was designed along around the same times that our turnout was designed. I think it was designed actually after it. So there are some similarities in terms of its line, but it's altogether different. You know, it's a little bit of a different color palette.
Do you go home and think about your favorite productions? I mean, do either of you have one favorite production of all the time you were here? Or is it just sort of like your favorite is the one you're working with now? Is there any production that we've done that you really treasure?
I think certainly this year's Caesar was amazing. I love Handel's music. Xerxes was done here. I don't remember the year. I would have to say that's one of my favorite productions that I've ever seen at Lyric. And certainly The Ring Cycle is just an amazing four nights in the theater. And I think our production is one of the best
in the
country.
Yeah, Scott, do you have any favorites? Or
yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think that in every production that we work on or that I work on, there's something in it that I find that I love or I fall in love with, because you have to kind of give yourself over to that process. But my very first year here, we did The Voyage of Edgar Allan Poe, and I don't know if it was because it was one of the first productions that I worked on or exactly what it was, but I just thought that was such an amazing production from so many different angles, and the cohesiveness of all the designers and the directors working together, I thought it was really exciting. I also thought View from the Bridge was an incredible production. I agree, Cesare, you know, that will go down as one of my all-time favorites, too. I think that anybody that saw that production, I mean, that was just a phenomenal experience and a rare experience, you know, to see a show that is so well put together.
Do you have any predictions for next season as to which production is going to be the blockbuster or the big surprise, or would you like to not go there?
I don't know. That's hard to predict. You know, there are a lot of times, you know, what I call sleeper hits, you know.
Yeah, and I love those. That's why I go to opera. I love seeing those.
You know, I know sometimes patrons may feel like, oh, we're going to see that same old, you know, Bohème or the same old Butterfly. Or we used to kind of joke and say, oh, it's a Brown show. But, you know, sometimes those shows, because of the cast or because of a certain combination of things or something is different, it all of a sudden becomes enchanting again.
We are doing Butterfly next year.
Yeah, so we are.
I think that's just a fabulous production.
Gorgeous. Is beautiful.
So,
I think that Porgy and Bess may be a sleeper. It's not something that Lyric patrons, that kind of musical theater, we don't see a lot here at Lyric. But it has some great music in it. It's a wonderful production by Francesca Zambello. And that may be the sleeper. So,
okay.
We'll see.
So get your tickets now. An amazing opera season awaits. And as the legendary Danny Newman would say, subscribe now. You can do it online by going to lyricopera.org, where you can not only subscribe, but you can hear Andrew Davis, our music director, Sir Andrew Davis, I should say, hear his audio preview of the season. Or you can simply dial 312-332-2244, extension 5600. And that will guarantee your seats for the 08-09 season. Subscriptions start for as little as $96 for four operas. To my guest, Technical Director Peter Schwob, and Production Design Director Scott Marr, thanks for joining us. To our listeners, this is Jack Zimmerman. I'll see you around at the opera.
You've been listening to Backstage at Lyric, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes at Lyric Opera of Chicago. For additional interactive content and to order tickets, visit us online at lyricopera.org.